Unscripted.
Each episode is available to view on YouTube, so be sure to check us out.
You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. The bishop started talking to me, and I love this man. And he said to me, "Elizabeth, we have prayed and prayed and prayed and begged the Lord not to excommunicate you. But we were told very specifically that if we do not excommunicate you, you will be lost to the Lord."
Hey everyone, welcome back to our show today. It's just the ladies. We're super excited about this. And we've got our friend Elizabeth with us. And honestly, it's an honor to have you on the show because you have an incredible story that we are going to talk about today. Let's go ahead and get started and get to know you just a little bit.
So I am Elizabeth and I'm a mom and I'm educated. The story of me basically starts with traumatic childhood, like everybody else, get in line, right? But I've used that moment to grow and to become who I am today and not make excuses. And I tried the excuse route for a little bit, didn't end well for me, got excommunicated, which is the story that I really want to share with everybody, and that it's not a one-all end-all. It's a process that we can all get through. So
where does that start for you? How would you like to begin with that story?
So I always grew up, I had two parents that were military, and I'm the oldest of eight children, and experienced a lot of trauma, physical abuse, physical neglect, sexual abuse stuff, just environmental neglect, lots of nonsense. Parents got divorced when I was 14. I'm jumping through a lot of this, you know?
Yeah. And so you were, sorry to interrupt. Raised in the faith in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Yeah. Okay. But inactive, and my mom was a convert. My dad, very strong member of the church, but very inactive and lifestyle choices and stuff. And so for me, growing up, the only security I had was the foundation that there was a higher power that loved me. Okay. Then at the age of 14, I go off on my own, 16, 14 is when my parents got divorced. And then jump ahead to a really bad first marriage. And I had served a mission. And I thought that if I had to be married to this guy for time and all eternity, I didn't want to go to Celestial Kingdom with him. Mm-hmm. And I started making choices that were a violation of every covenant I had made, because I had lived my life so long in all of this pain, and I'm sick of it. I am so tired of trying to do what's right and it blow up in my face. I'm done. So I started making all these really poor choices, thinking, oh, this is what real happiness is, and just felt worse. And I was like, this is not what I, this is not the intention.
Yeah.
I want to take back the last 6 months
of my life. Is the grass always greener on the other side? Yeah.
No, where is the grass greener? Where is it greener?
I don't know.
The grass is greener where you water it. It's where you water it.
I like that.
So that is opposite of what I was thinking. So I was putting water and fertilizer on everything else besides my soul. Wasn't taking care of myself, wasn't taking care of myself spiritually, physically, emotionally, any of it. And so I decided one day, I got to fix this. Because I know what the atonement's about. I know what repentance is about. And don't you guys find it interesting that we talk a lot about faith, baptism, Holy Ghost, but we kind of like jump over the repentance part. We kind of skip that part a lot. We don't hear a lot about it. We don't talk a lot about it.
That's harder to talk about.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Because it hits us more. It's more personal, right? What does Nephi tell us? The wicked take the truth to be hard. We don't want to hear what we're doing is wrong. And so there's this moment of humility that we have to face, this moment of reality that we have to face. So I called the bishop. I said, we got to talk. I go into the bishop's office, and the first thing I'm in my brain when I'm doing this is, there's no way they're going to excommunicate me. There's no way. I'm a girl. They don't excommunicate girls, right? Like, I'm going to use this to my benefit.
They're, like, so much easier on the girls.
Right? I know, right?
But that's what we think.
It's all equal, right? This is another thing that's important to understand for women and how we are treated equal in the church, even with repentance, even with the atonement. It is equal. This is how much God loves his daughters, is he will treat them equal.
Yes.
I think that's also important to understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm having this moment of realization. I'm like, justify. Listen. I am the victim here. I am the one that's been abused my whole life. Like, give me some leeway. Make this right for me. And I got to say this. I have never had more respect for a bishopric until I've been through this process, because these are just regular guys. These aren't guys that sign up for this. They go through a lot, and we put them through a lot, and we put them through an expectation that our brain creates that's unrealistic, that they need to treat me equally to the other guy. And while I'm expecting to be treated equally to the other guy, my sins aren't equal to him or her. And so I need to be treated like God wants me to be treated. And that applies to all of us, right? So then they send me out in the hall. They said, we got to talk about this. We got to pray about it. And then I go in the hall and I'm sitting out there for like an hour. In my head, I knew I was going to be excommunicated, but I didn't want to believe that. And so I sat out there for an hour debating whether or not to just leave. I didn't want to deal with it. And I come, they call me back in the room, and their faces had been crying. And I was like, this is, why am I, grown men crying? Why? It's me. I'm a nobody. I can't cause that much pain on someone. That's not fair, right? And it kept hurting my heart to see them there. And the bishop started talking to me, and I love this man. And he said to me, Elizabeth, we have prayed and prayed and prayed and begged the Lord not to excommunicate you. And we begged him not to do this. But we were told very specifically that if we do not excommunicate you, you will be lost to the Lord. And I thought, how profound that was. I really thought, this is my Heavenly Father talking to my soul, telling me how important I am. And then after that, it was really numb. I expected it, but I didn't want it. And I was in shock, and I sat there, and I don't think I heard two things they said. They were explaining to me at that point what I could and couldn't do. Can't wear your garments anymore. Mm-hmm. Can't partake in the sacrament. You can't talk. You can't pray. Mm-hmm. So all this time, when I was thinking I was so restricted from doing anything, it was actually the opposite. I had so much freedom.
Before excommunication, as like living the gospel and
absolutely. I had so much freedom when I was living the gospel and doing what was right. The minute I get excommunicated, gone. No freedom. No nothing. And have you ever heard of like phantom pain, like when somebody loses an arm or a limb or something?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was like. The Holy Ghost was no longer there. It was there as the light of Christ that we all talk about, but the gift was gone. I no longer had that. When you're excommunicated, that's taken away from you.
And you probably don't really notice until it's gone, right? Because we're so used to that.
Yeah. Oh, if you're baptized at 8, you don't know.
Yeah.
You just grow up with it. And then all of a sudden, it's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, I know how to make a decision. I know the difference between right and wrong. Now all of a sudden, I feel like I lost an arm, and the phantom pain is there. The Holy Ghost is like supposed to be here guiding me. Comfort, it was the most important thing. I didn't even have that anymore. Oh, it was so awful.
Did you feel angry at God for this, or was it like you still felt that like it was coming from a place of love, or was it like a little of both? What was your
that's a good question. So it was all of it in the same moment. Because, and this is really one of the things I've learned about being excommunicated, is that you can feel love, hate, anger, depression, sadness, anxiety, all in one moment, happy. One thing.
Mm-hmm.
1 second, you can feel it all. I wanted to be mad at these guys, this bishopric. I want to blame them for my mistakes. Are you serious? Like, how am I supposed to do that? Well, it's your fault that you don't understand me and my past and what I went through. And it's your fault that my records are now wiped off. Are you kidding? I'm an adult. It's my fault. I've done something wrong. I need to take accountability. Accountability is one of the biggest parts of the atonement. And how can we really ask for forgiveness if we don't think we've done anything wrong? Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Yeah.
Maybe that's one reason that, I mean, I don't know a lot about it, but that excommunication kind of really puts you in, like, perspective. Like, oh, shoot, like, I really need to change.
Things are serious.
It's like, mm-hmm. Things really need to take a turn. We need to change something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it takes something dramatic for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The frying pan on the head.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna listen to me now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as I was getting ready to walk out the doors, and I was crying, I was so embarrassed, and the bishop said to me, Elizabeth, when you first walked in, you told me you never felt like you were ever good enough for anything. You never felt you were enough. He goes, that is a lie. You are everything to your Heavenly Father. And I just kind of stood there for a minute, and it was like a gift that Heavenly Father was giving me. It was this moment of, I'm not kicking you out of my presence. I'm not kicking you out of our communication. I'm saying you need a time out. You've got to just settle down and realize it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're going to do. And that's how I felt. And there was so much love that I felt from those men in that moment. And it was going to be really easy, going back to what you said, to blame everybody else. But mm-hmm. what good was that going to do me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want that feeling anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned to the bishop and I said, you guys, I'm coming back soon. I'm not going to be gone long. And my membership was revoked for 3 years. It took me 3 years. I know it takes some people a lot longer, some people a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, 6 months, I'll be back.
Yeah.
That's not how the atonement works.
Mm-hmm.
People have got to understand that as a culture, I don't know why we don't talk about this more, why we don't talk about repentance more, but it is every day, every moment of every day. We are not ever going to be perfect, right? We can't be. But the moment that we start realizing and utilizing the atonement for what it is, the second step in our first four principles of the gospel is repentance. If we don't start utilizing that, we're doing ourselves an injustice, and we are not taking advantage of what Christ died for.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that process of working through it, realizing the accountability part, and coming back. And the coming back, there's always a comeback. There's always an underdog, right?
Yep.
There's always a comeback. And anyone can come back. And I don't care how many times we think, even as a return missionary, I've been on a mission, I can't come. Oh, good grief, stop it. No, there's not a missionary out there that hasn't screwed up at some point.
Mm-hmm. I know. Why do we think return missionaries are like
just like perfect?
Yep. I think I've gotten a little better about that. But seriously, I remember coming home from the mission and be like, mm-hmm. the pressure's yeah. on. Because mm-hmm. people, they're like, can you believe, like, a returned missionary did that? I'm like, actually, I can. Because
yeah.
I am a returned missionary. And, like, life happens, okay?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
We're not perfect, right?
Yeah.
It happens.
And yeah. I love that you point out just, like, the culture of our church just needs to focus so much more on that repentance aspect of the gospel. And actually, fairly recently, I just wanted to share this, that we no longer officially call it excommunication. It's called a withdrawal of membership, which just sounds so much more like yeah. I feel like excommunication is like, get the hints. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's very, like, dramatic.
Right.
And the withdrawal is almost like it's coming from the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm withdrawing so that I can take a step back. Yeah, do what I need to do.
Well, and I love, like, kind of like how you put it a second ago, where it was just a timeout, you know? I think that, like, in that moment for you, it was very clear that the Lord knew what you wanted. Mm-hmm. The Lord knew what you needed to hear from those men, and He knew what you need from here on out.
Oh, yeah. And if there's anger associated, anger is a secondary emotion. So if we're feeling angry about something, we need to dig a little deeper and find out where that anger is coming from. So when I would feel angry, I quickly checked myself and realized this is because I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that the sacrament's being passed in front of me and everybody's looking at me and judging me because it's a small community. Everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good grief. Elizabeth, check yourself. That is it is between me and Heavenly Father and nobody else. So my embarrassment. But this is one other thing I want to tell you guys that is so important that I think people need to understand. There is a difference between feeling guilt and feeling shame. Mm-hmm. The Lord does not want us to be shamed, right? What does he say about being ashamed? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He tells us that, right? And so when we are feeling guilty, guilt is actually a very good thing. Guilt is a teaching tool. Guilt tells us, I've done something wrong. That's the Holy Ghost going, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Try again.
Yeah, let's fix this. Uh-huh. And so when we are feeling embarrassed in that guilt, it's okay. We should. We screwed up. We did something wrong. We're apologizing for it. Being excommunicated is not a scarlet letter, but it is not a badge of honor. It's a chance to say, I can be better. I can fix this. Mm-hmm. I can fix this, but I can't do it by myself. Mm-hmm. I've got to have my Heavenly Father with me.
In coming back, did you, like, in receiving the Holy Ghost again, how was that moment for you? Or if you're willing to share, of course, if it's not too personal.
When I was finally able to come back, it was this great moment that I had, since I had been remarried, and my husband now got to rebaptize me. And he was there the whole time, the whole process. And let me just make this point, though. When I had been excommunicated before we even started dating, and one of the hardest things, I think, for me being excommunicated was knowing who I could talk to, knowing who I couldn't talk to about it.
Yeah.
The judgment I was going to feel.
You.
And so I was so scared to tell this guy that I had fallen in love with, that I had been excommunicated, because I didn't want to lose him. But I knew I had to be honest about it because that was part of the repentance process, is owning what I had done. And so there was this little moment of awkwardness when I told him. And he called me the next day, and he's like, hey, let's go out to lunch. I'm like, he called me back. So excited. Jump ahead 3 years, and he's baptizing me. And it was this cool moment. And the water in the font was like halfway full because that was all they could fill it. And I was like, oh, and it was freezing. And
oh, man.
He's this big guy dunking me in the water. And I was like, please get it right the first time. So I went on Gospel Tools, and it has your membership stuff all on there. And I pulled up my membership record. You guys, I'm not kidding. This might make me a little emotional, but it was a really big deal to me that our sins are white and scarlet no more, right? And that moment, when I looked at my membership record, it tells you the day you were blessed as a baby, you were baptized when you were 8, got sealed in the temple endowments and all of that. And my original 8-year-old baptism date was still on there. My excommunication date was gone. And it wasn't about the date of my rebaptism. My date of baptism was when I was 8 years old. That,
wow,
that is a physical evidence and physical proof of that scripture in fruition. And if you guys don't know what it feels like to look at that record and appreciate that, I would recommend everybody do that. Look at your membership record, look at those dates, because when you've gone through something pretty traumatic and you think, oh, I can never do this now because they'll pull up my membership record and they'll see baptism, excommunication, rebaptism, the world's judging me again. And then you see that on there that it's not there. It's physical evidence that the Lord remembers your sins no more. And it's awesome.
Wow. Oh, that is so beautiful. I know. I feel like I'm choking up. Like, that is so beautiful.
It's the one part of being excommunicated that I need everyone to understand, that we can learn as parents, right? Like, when we forgive people, when we want people to forgive us for our screw-ups, what that really means. It's amazing. The atonement is incredible. It's beautiful.
So before we wrap up here, I just wanted to ask you, for any of our viewers out there who are going through anything similar to what you've gone through, just any sort of what you've talked about today, I would love to know if you have any sort of advice or any words of wisdom for them.
Yeah. Knock it off. Just know that you are caught in your own head. That is not how God feels about you. That's not how he looks at you. that we raised our hand in the pre-existence and agreed to fail miserably. We did. And we agreed to come here and make mistakes, and it's okay. That we are not loved less, and get in there, get to the bishop, get to your stake president, make it right. Understand it's going to hurt. But if we just hold on to that principle of repentance, it's going to be okay.
So beautifully said.
And it's never too late. I love that you mentioned the timetable. It's never too late.
Never.
Nope. Especially in God's eyes.
100%.
Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. Honestly, I've been very touched today.
Me too.
And we appreciate you being willing to take the time and talk with us. Everyone, thank you so much for watching this episode today. Please like and subscribe and leave a comment if you have any questions for Elizabeth or for us. And we love you all, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch our videos, check us out on YouTube or shoot us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.